Well, thank you, everybody. If it's okay, I'm going to take my mask off. I appreciate everybody being here this afternoon. Without question, the BCSC's high school facilities are in need of serious attention. Academic delivery is being significantly impacted by our facilities. We have some of the most creative teaching minds in the state. Very proud of our teaching staff, but their ability to deliver a 21st century education to our students, I believe, is being held back by our facilities. This week, the school district begins a year-long discussion. Let me say that again, a year-long discussion of identifying the best way for our community to address those facility needs. Tomorrow night, we will host the first of several community meetings. Tomorrow night will be Lost Creek Elementary, beginning at 6:30. As we begin this community conversation, I think we have to address that there are many financial unknowns at this time. For example, the county, the city, the school corporation are set to receive millions of dollars from the federal government related to the pandemic. What the school corporation is uncertain of, you know, what we are unclear about, is how those dollars can be spent and how that might impact a potential school building project. The district is also being told, beyond those dollars, that there could be future dollars that would be made available through an infrastructure bill that could also impact a potential high school project. Although future economic conditions are always unknown, current consideration of construction cost compared to where they were a year ago speak to the pandemic uncertainty of our economy, which could also impact a potential building project. Remember, this is a year-long discussion. So facing these financial uncertainties here in April, the community meetings will focus on the overall structure that houses our instructional programs, the hopes of those instructional programs moving forward, and community priorities as we address those facilities. Again, we hope to begin this process tomorrow at 6:30, where I will deliver a PowerPoint presentation. Hopefully by around 7 o'clock, we'll go into some Q&A, some question and answer. Then we'll spend some time working in small groups related to the presentation, related to community thoughts and hopes for these school projects. And then we'll finish up by doing some actual polling on site. So again, this starts this process, and we'll take your questions.
So you won't have any dollar figures attached to the option here,
right? Sue, as you know, we had planned to do just that. What we will speak to is maybe some overall ranges. We'll give some comparison to what a $100 million project might look like. But I just caution our school district as we step out there with these unknown pieces. Once you state a cost for a project, we tend to get focused in on that cost. And knowing that this is a year-long conversation, I would hate to do that to us right now.
But you still hope for a referendum next May?
Yeah, and I think that speaks to the uncertainty of dollars. On Monday, we got official approval for ESSER $2. In ESSER II, the school district will receive $13.5 million. How we can spend that and in what ways we can spend that are still being discussed. We believe that there are ESSER III dollars out there in our future, and we're being told that there is an infrastructure bill that would send dollars our way. So, though the conversation has been about referenda, but is it possible with this influx of dollars to our community that a referenda may not be necessary?
So your hope is that maybe some of these dollars could be used for construction?
Correct.
You might have already briefly said this, but can you discuss, I guess, some of the major things as far as the direction that tomorrow's meeting is going to cover?
Sure. Some things that we want to speak to. I think as we're looking at our high schools, definitely from an infrastructure situation, there are many things that need to be addressed. And I think this community has been talking about that for several years now. I don't think that's a new conversation. This discussion is also about the delivery of curriculum and instruction, and what does that look like? This discussion is also about economic impact to our community. This discussion is also about property taxes and the pocketbook impact that a building program would have. This project is about attraction and retention for our community. So I think when we think about what that will be tomorrow night, we hope to touch on all of those things. But then we also hope to get feedback from those that are in attendance in relationship to what are their hopes for our facilities. You know, in 2022, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of North and South. What do we hope we're celebrating 50 years from now?
So it sounds like this not only, it's kind of threefold, it increases facilities up to date, improves teachers' ability to teach at a high level curriculum, but just so many other benefits, it sounds like, from updating these facilities, and that's what you're trying to get across.
Yeah, I think one, you've got to show the need. You know, why are we around the table talking about facilities? And I think that has to be revisited, even though I think it has been a community topic for a while. Then I think you're addressing curriculum instruction. What are we being asked to do and required to do from a state level? But more importantly, what do we want locally? What do we want from our facilities? Maybe just not for K-12. What do we want from those facilities for adult learners that might need to be re-educated for a 21st century economy? What do we want for seniors that live in our community and is our fastest growing demographic? And so I think it's much broader than just the K-12 setting, and in this case talking about high schools, 9, 10, 11, and 12. But I think the way forward for communities, when we're speaking of school projects, when we're speaking of dollars that we weren't expecting to be flowing in at the county level, the city level, and the school level, how do we wisely work together to spend those dollars?
You've talked about several plans in the past, three new schools, two new schools, remodel them all. You're on the inside. You probably have a better handle on this than just about anybody.
Yeah.
In your wildest dreams, what's your best plan that you would like to see that would answer all the problems you've got right now? What would do?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a politician's answer to that question. We need to address infrastructure needs. We're going to demonstrate all eight concepts at these community meetings, and we believe all eight address those needs. But I believe that in looking at all of those eight, I don't think we'll pick concept three, you know, as a community. I don't think we'll pick concept seven as a community. My hope is in this discussion, we identify the project that is right for Vigo County, that's right for our students, our teachers. And though I do have great insight, I can tell you who has better insight into those buildings, and it's our teaching staff. You know, it's the cafeteria, the worker that works in the kitchen. You know, it's our custodian, it's our maintenance department. You know, that's also about what these community meetings are about. Getting out, speaking to our staff, speaking to our neighborhoods, and really trying to identify the project that meets the needs and that 50 years from now can be celebrated as a project that has well served our community.
The last referendum, you had lots of meetings.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Can't say that you were overrun with attendance.
Sure.
There was a nice number of people who showed up, but you weren't swamped, that's for sure. How do you get more people involved in this?
Well, I think we're not ready to identify right now because we're working out some of the kinks of our process. We believe in the power of face-to-face, and we're going to work very hard to try to get greater turnout. But we also believe that our communication strategy has to touch our community's smartphones. And hopefully we will be announcing soon how we plan to do really what I would call mobile cellular community meetings. Did I date myself when I said cellular?
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. Smartphone meetings.
And when you say facilities, I mean, is this like a revamp of all high school buildings? Is there something particular you have in mind? Or?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. We have several elementaries that have needs. Woodrow Wilson is celebrating its 100th birthday in 2024. And from the outside, what a structure, a strong appearance, architecturally very pleasing to the eye. But on the inside, does it need help in meeting a 21st century education? It sure does. So I think you have to think about these high school projects in context of all the other needs that we have out there. And how do you put together a long-term facility plan that addresses what I think is maybe the most pressing need, our high schools right now, but also we'll be able to address elementary chillers, heating and cooling systems.
So out of curiosity, I know the, for example, audit critical innovations that are going on right now are through a different financial process.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But they had a lot of the needs that you're talking about, for example, shortage of classrooms, wanting to expand the cafeteria and create more space.
Yeah.
Now, well, it may not tie into this plan exactly financially. Will that be kind of a blueprint going forward on how to kind of revamp certain schools?
Yeah, no, it obviously is a separate project, but it could be the model. You know, if our community tells us that we just want renovation, you know, I think we look at that model and see how we were able to use it to try to meet some of those needs. That's a much longer process. You know, we have two schools that happen to be opened and built at the exact same time who are having some of the same issues. And so how do you approach that and how do you break that down in regards to renovation projects? Which one do you start with? Which one do you end with? A lot of questions there, but that's why you have these meetings.
Then you may have touched on them already, but when you look at the buildings themselves, prioritizing them, what are some of the things that you have to look at?
Well, we've had architects through our buildings. They have graded out our buildings. Our grades were not stellar, and they look everything from roofing systems to heating and cooling systems, everything in between, classroom size, flexibility of those classrooms. They, you know, looked at our science rooms, our performing arts pieces, and created a rubric that graded out those buildings.
Can you contextualize for a moment, we've talked about this, that North and South are 50 years old next year,
yeah.
West is 60 years old. Contextualize that in terms of generations. Who's been sitting in those classrooms?
Yeah, if you think about it, The first people that walked into those buildings as freshmen and sophomore, they're grandparents now. And so those buildings, maybe even great-grandparents in some cases, have served multiple generations of students and have served them well. You know, we can think of many successes that have come out of all of those facilities. The question is, do we want to renovate those? Do we want to do some renovations, some new? Do we want to do all new? As we think about the next generation of students. Probably this is true. If you said in an English room in 1972, not much has changed in that English room in 2022. Same furniture, possibly. We've maybe added a contact point for our Chromebooks. But maybe, you know, you'd walk in there and probably feel very familiar if you were there in 72 and walk in there in 2022.
But a major factor is going to be what will cost taxpayers and what kind of taxpayers
are forward. Yeah, I think, Sue, and we'll demonstrate this tonight, and I think maybe everybody in this room knows we have debt that's rolling off. And so how do you use that strategically in a project? You know, but ultimately, it's it affects the business owner, it affects the farmer, it affects the homeowner, and that's why this is a community decision about what we want to do. You know, if you think about when these buildings were built and opened in 1972, there was no referenda process. I can't speak to the amount of community meetings they held at that time. But that was really a school board that voted that in, and the impact was felt immediately. But that's the nature of public education, isn't it? In 1900, there were over 200 schools in Vigo County, according to our teacher heritage organization here in town. Somebody paid for those buildings. Somebody paid for the Garfields in our communities, the Honey Creek High Schools in our communities. Somebody paid for the North and South and West Vigo. We're in a pay it forward business when it comes to school facilities. And what historically has happened is each generation has wanted something just a little better for the next generation. And hopefully that will be true for us.
Can you give an example or two? Just, you talked about, you know, it's sort of the facilities now are sort of impacting how instruction can be delivered. Can you give an example?
Yeah, just one that I received in an email, maybe, what is it, Wednesday, Monday, heating and cooling. We were sitting in classrooms, and of course this is an odd time of the year, but a student had complained to a teacher, and that had found its way to my desk about how hot it was in the academic setting. And that's just not true for North and South. That can be found in many of our buildings. That's just a small example. I can speak to this, and we have done some work on our roofing systems since I've been here, but I can recall the very first time I walked through Terre Haute South. And in Terre Haute South, there was a bucket that was set out in the hallway that was, and it wasn't raining outside, but it was catching water from somewhere. I actually think that was the walk through before I had even become superintendent. That's been repaired, you know, but I think it speaks to kind of the patchwork that we've been doing on those buildings.
With taxes like they are,
yeah,
enrollment's going down,
yeah,
so the population's going down. So here comes a big question. When you actually go to a referendum, I realize you don't know what the buildings are going to cost for municipal pride. Where's your ceiling?
Yeah.
How much can you ask for and can ask for no more?
Yeah, I don't think that's an answer Rob Hayworth gives. I think that's an answer our community has to come to grips with. And is there a referenda in our future to address these needs? I think that's a question as well. I think the projects, the eight concepts that we will demonstrate tomorrow all speak to referenda, except for maybe a couple of them. But that's each community in the state of Indiana now has to come to grips with that question. As you know, our infrastructure from those schools that faced consolidation in the late 50s through the 1960s and early 1970s, those facilities that have not held up, all communities across the state of Indiana are probably asking those same questions.
And you reference construction costs right now are just going way up, right?
Yeah. To the point, Sue, we spoke to the Otter Creek project, and I think we hit upon this last night. I think the 22nd of April, our bids come in for that project. I'll be anxious to see if they're what the impact is on those bids. But I mean, you don't have to look at a construction. Go to Menards. You know, go buy a 2x4 or go buy a sheet of plywood, and you know that construction costs are gone up.
But you want that stabilized?
Yeah, I mean, at least to where we're more comfortable than what we are right now. And again, if you think about the first referenda and how things change, you know, we spoke of this process really happening last year and moving into a question for our community in May of 2021. And we had no clue that what we were facing as a nation, as a state, and as a community. What does that look like? That's why it's a year-long conversation. I would say this, if there is to be a referenda, to make sure if it were to happen in May, the board would have to take action in January.
Do you think that's realistic?
I'm reluctant to say right now, Sue. I think time will tell. I think we'll get some direction on, greater direction on these federal funds that we're receiving. You know, I've also been asked, well, Rob, you're getting these federal funds, why not wait? And that's a great question. But as I understand, at least for ESSER II dollars for our school system, those dollars have to be spent by December of 2023. So if you're going to tie those into some sort of project, you know, the clock is ticking on that time. Group, thank you. Appreciate your time. Appreciate you coming in.
Thank you.